official papers released by the Department of Defence reveal several departments and state agencies are warning the government about the threats to underwater cables and pipelines, the implications any disruptions would have, and the need to increase maritime surveillance and security. Huge energy, huge information technology assets, connection to markets and all sorts of things. At odds and at concern and at question here in relation to what is happening with regards to undersea cables. Well, with me on the line to talk about this and talk about the second subsea cable symposium, which is taking place at the Kempel station in Valencia tomorrow and on Thursday, is Dr. Camino Cavanagh, who is the chair of the symposium. She's a senior visiting fellow with the Department of War Studies in King's College in London, also a fellow with the UN Institute of Disarmament Research, and her current research focuses on international security and critical subsea infrastructure. Dr. Cavanagh, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me on the programme. Good morning. Before we talk about the conference, the threats itself or the concerns we have, tell me a bit about the conference. This is 2 days. The Minister for Defence, Helen McEntee, will be there. The Minister of Communications will be there as well, and a host of academics and experts in this area.
Yeah, that's correct, Jerry. We have about 80, 85 people coming to the symposium that will kick off this evening with a small reception at the Heritage Museum here on Valencia Island, and then commence tomorrow and finish on Friday. We have a half day of panel discussions also on Friday. We have, it's a multi-stakeholder event where we bring together academics with government representatives and industry, evidently. We have two of the major cable, subsea cable associations joining us and part of the organization as well. So the European Subsea Cable Association and the International Cable Protection Committee. We have a wonderful 2.5-3 days ahead of us. And the weather to go with it again.
Yeah, indeed. It's going fantastically well. And all in the place where one of the most important cables was ever laid. It's timely this discussion is happening and this conference is happening as well, Dr. Cavanagh, because when you see, if you just Google a map of undersea cables in Ireland, you can just see the huge concentration and connectivity from all over the world, but particularly from the eastern seaboard of the United States with Europe, in and around and just going past and in through our waters, really.
Yes. And that strategic location has been highlighted by the European Union in its recent action plan, or Cable Security Action Plan, and in its mapping exercise of risks and so forth. So I think everybody in Europe is aware, across the Atlantic is aware, Ireland itself, the government is very aware of this issue, and evidently the industry, the owners and operators of cable. And as you yourself know, more and more academics like myself are covering the topic from very different angles as well. So so I think awareness is very acute.
Yeah. There's two areas here, isn't there? There's one, the immediate threat of sabotage and dismantling and disruption by international actors for whatever reason. But the second one is the danger or the trouble, the cost, the need to repair and maintain these cables. This is difficult work deep at sea.
Yeah, it's so I would roll back a little bit. Cables break all the time. They're over 200 faults a year. That stat, even though there's more and more cable being laid out and so forth, those statistics haven't really changed very much over the years. But yes, they're, given the geopolitical context, the sabotage, the Nord Stream sabotage incident in 2022, incidents that have occurred in the Baltic Sea, and then suspicious activity and loitering in Irish UK waters and so forth, that evidently has everybody on tenterhooks in terms of what could potentially happen to cables in a situation of crisis. I would also add the climate context with a very complex climate events also being a challenge. So in addition to the traditional causes of damage by trawling, anchoring, undersea geological events and so forth, you have all of these additional pressures. And then also, Jerry, I mean, we're highly dependent on the systems for every single thing we do. So that evidently points pushes governments to pay much more attention to them than they would have had done so 5 years ago.
And also maybe to put more attention on security, but also on investment and finance.
Yes.
And money to maintain and lay new cables and repair the ones that we have.
Yes, I mean, the maintenance of the cables, I mean, there's a long history to that, and that's done through existing maintenance arrangements, privately led. Governments are paying more attention to that in terms of whether it's efficient, fit for purpose. Industry itself is also paying more attention to the topic. There are very different changes happening within the industry, with hyperscalers owning and operating much of the capacity and many of the cables, including the transatlantic cables that you referred to earlier. So that all of these changes require attention to issues such as repair, which is why we're hosting the symposium.
Are the cables privately or publicly owned, or is it a mix?
It depends on which region of the world you're talking about. In this region, mostly privately owned and commercial cables. That's who we're talking about, not military cables. In other regions of the world, they could be privately owned. But there's more and more public funding going into new cables to ensure additional redundancy.
Yeah. That means that if one goes, you'll have another one that backs it up, and it's important for the functioning of the country. So the state kind of has to be involved at several levels here, doesn't it?
And the EU is putting out calls for funding for additional cable routes and so forth. So, you know, all of these things are being talked about. There's new funding streams coming in. I think there's the issue of whether, you know, is there a business case for some of these? But governments also have to do their own business case. And for those security resilience purposes are actually coming in with extra funding.
Dr. Kavanagh, I imagine there'll be discussion as well about the role of the Defence Forces here and the need to increase surveillance of what's happening off our coastline.
Yes, definitely. We have representatives from the Naval Service, in addition to the broader Department of Defence. And we'll be discussing their role, including in relation to repair operations. And I think there has been significant, you know, experience of, you know, when here we're talking, Jerry, about roles and responsibilities. Who kicks in terms of responsibility at what stage of a different operation and so forth. So yes, definitely, there will be discussion about that. And we'll also have many of the brilliant academics in Ireland that are actually doing a lot of research and applied research in terms of sensing and applying sensing to the monitoring of critical undersea infrastructure in Irish waters.
Okay, there's one element as well that I imagine will be discussed, and it's I suppose ever since the first cable was laid, cooperation between nations. I mean, these cables, they connect one country to another, so there is the whole side of, you know, how that interacts different jurisdictions, who pays for what and who protects what. Is that part of it?
Yeah, this is what I call kind of it's a new era of cable diplomacy. And so there's a lot of discussion and a lot of intergovernmental cooperation, including between Ireland and the UK. Cable, critical undersea infrastructure is one of the elements that is being discussed in the political summits and evidently at the working level elements different departments will have to carry forward.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, Dr. Kavanagh, thanks very much for taking the time. Good luck with the symposium over the next number of days, and we'll wait with interest what transpires from it. But thanks for taking the time to talk to me on the programme about it.
Thank you so much. And I just really did want to focus on, just mention, you know, the connection of Kerry to repair. I mean, I don't know if you know the Cable O'Leary pub in Ballinascalix.
Yes, I do.
Where Denica Cable O'Leary, he was given that name because he helped recover a cable that had broken off the coast on Ballinascalix Beach. So there's all of these fascinating historic links as well that I think are really worthy of raising and connecting Kerry to all of these different topics.
Yeah, and that's going to be a key part of the symposium over the next couple of days. And that's a brilliant part of it. Dr. Kavanagh, thank you for talking to us. Thanks for giving us your time. That's Dr. Camino Kavanagh there, chair of the symposium taking place in Valencia at the cable station. The Valencia Transatlantic Cable Foundation is hosting the not-for-profit event, which is being organised alongside Irish and international researchers, say over 90 of them coming from all over the world to talk about this developing area of, as Dr. Kavanagh said, the need for cable diplomacy between countries, the repair cost, the maintenance, climate change element of it, the security side of it, which is absolutely huge, and the fact that three quarters of all subsea cables in the Northern Hemisphere pass through Irish waters. It's strategically, our location is a key one there in relation to that. The topic for the conference, the umbrella topic, is repair, past, present and future. They'll be looking at the magnificent history of Valentia Island when it comes to that as well. So that's going on for the next couple of days. If you have a view in it, get in touch with us on the programme.